In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Jesus recorded in all four Gospels. That alone tells us how important the early church considered this story. It is also a story full of numbers. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 men, and 12 baskets left over. On one level, these numbers emphasize the extraordinary nature of the miracle. But the gospel writers also use them to reveal a deeper theological meaning. When I first heard this story as a child, I was fascinated by the multiplication itself. How could 5 loaves and 2 fish feed such a vast crowd? After hearing this gospel for many years, however, I find myself drawn to something even more remarkable: the radically different way Jesus and the disciples look at those same 5 loaves and 2 fish. Perhaps the miracle begins not with the multiplication of the bread, but with the transformation of how those loaves are seen. The disciples look at the food and say, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. They calculate, they measure, they conclude there is not enough. Their solution is perfectly reasonable: send the people away so they can buy food for themselves. Jesus sees the very same 5 loaves and 2 fish differently. He does not begin with calculation, but with thanksgiving. He asks that they be brought to him. He looks up to heaven, blesses them, breaks them, and gives them away. The disciples see scarcity. Jesus sees a gift worthy of gratitude. The difference is not in the bread, but in the one upon whom each relies. The disciples rely on what they can calculate. Jesus relies completely on the Father. How often do we resemble the disciples? We say, "I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough talent. Our resources are too limited." We become convinced that what we hold is insignificant. That mindset eventually justifies our reluctance to share and causes us to miss the opportunity for Christ's power to work through us. Notice that Jesus commands, "You give them something to eat," before anyone has established whether there is enough. He does not tell the disciples to give because they have abundance. Rather, he teaches that the willingness to give comes first. Only then does he ask them to bring what they have to him. This stands in sharp contrast to the world we inhabit. Our economic system is built on the assumption that more is always better, that contentment is almost a failure, and that we should never stop accumulating. We are constantly encouraged to believe that what we have is insufficient. Yet Jesus reveals another kind of abundance. The abundance of the kingdom is not produced by endless accumulation, but by grateful hearts that recognize everything as God's gifts. This is precisely the invitation we hear in Isaiah today. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. God's abundance cannot be purchased. The deepest hunger of the human heart cannot be satisfied by wealth, productivity, or success. It is satisfied only by the gracious gift of God Himself. Perhaps there is a reason this miracle takes place in a deserted place. A deserted place is where our illusions of self-sufficiency begin to fade. It is where we discover both our hunger and God's provision. The Israelites encountered God in the wilderness through manna from heaven. The crowd experienced Him here through bread blessed and broken by Jesus. Perhaps before this summer ends, we too should seek our own deserted place. Our lives are crowded with activity, information, and possessions. We have more conveniences than any generation before us, yet we often feel less satisfied. There are parts of the human heart that cannot be filled by material abundance or endless knowledge. We need moments of silence, simplicity, even a little fasting, to rediscover our deepest hunger and the one who alone can satisfy it. In that quiet place, we may finally see our lives through Jesus' eyes. Our talents, our time, our labor, our possessions, even if they seem small, become precious gifts worthy of thanksgiving. When we place them into His hands, He blesses them, breaks them open in love, and shares them for the life of the world. We become not owners, but stewards. Not reservoirs, but channels through which God's grace flows like water, bringing life to dry ground. In a few moments at this altar, Jesus will once again take bread, give thanks, break it, and give it to us. He gives us not merely bread, but Himself. The true bread come down from heaven. Having received such a gift, may we learn to hold everything we have with gratitude rather than fear, with generosity rather than calculation. And may the abundance of Christ's kingdom flow through our lives, bringing life to a world that is still hungry for the bread that truly satisfies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.